Observed in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needed for me to write you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now I want to repeat that, and you ought to underline this in your Bible in verse 3. And that is, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now what that says it very simply is you have to fight for the things of God. Christians, I think, sometimes think they ought to be very passive. Just whatever God drops in their lap, that's what they take. And that's exactly opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we have to reach out and get the things of God. We have to take the land. We have to do the battle. We have to, when we get knocked down, rise up and grab more of God. Every time you get knocked down, you rise up and you grab more of God. And I think these are the days that God is looking at His people. And in fact, the Bible says that these last days are going to be days of Laodicea, meaning that people are going to be so passive about their Christianity that evil's going to take over. That's exactly what it says. And Jesus said of those, and it just amazes me that this, if there was ever a time that we ought to be going after the things of God, it's now. If there's ever a time we ought to be listening to the Word of God and being obedient, it is now. We are in the last days. I really believe there's going to be a war very quickly over in the Middle East, and it's going to stir up the entire world, and things are going to change quickly. And so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. God saved us to prepare us for what He has in the future, for save us for heaven, one thing, but also what He has in this life. And so we're preparing for the next life, and we are taking what He has in this life. And God is offering things. I have people, they say, I ask them if they're a Christian. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Yeah, so I say, well, do you go to church? You read your Bible? No. You know, that doesn't sound like they love God to me. I say, that doesn't sound like they love God to me. I remember when I was young and I was in love and I didn't even have a car and I loved this gal across town. And the only time I could have a date with her when my dad wasn't using the car, because a lot of times he worked nights and had the drive to work, and so I didn't have any car. But I'm going to tell you something. The fact that I didn't have a car didn't stop me from seeing that girl across town, because I'd walk if I had to. It was about 3 miles, but it wasn't a problem because I was thinking about her all the way. You understand what I'm saying? And I was calling her on the phone, and I mean, I was going after this gal. I'm going to tell you that right now, you know? And that's the way it's supposed to be with Jesus. I say that's the way it's supposed to be with Jesus, only more so. Somebody tells me they go a day without thinking about Jesus. I said, do you know Christ? I mean, come on here. Do you read your Bible? If you don't read it, don't pretend that you know Jesus. Because you're pretending. You really are. You're just playing games with the whole deal. And you know what God said about those folks? I'm going to spew them out of my mouth. Whoa. That's what He said. And so when God says, study Joshua so you'll find out how to take the land of your life and clear it out, so that you can do the things of God, God means what He says and says what He means. And you know, the other day I was headed for a certain place and I cut down this street and unfortunately they were doing road construction. And so I thought I was taking a shortcut so I'd get there faster, and it ended up, it took me longer because I had to go around things and over culverts and roll around this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, that's the way most of us live our life. We get used to this stuff that Jesus doesn't want, but we get used to it and We wear ourselves out just kind of going around all these things in our life instead of clearing the field so we have we can fill that thing with the things of God. I went to my grandson's soccer game. He's 4 years old. And I stood during the rain and watched him play. I mean, it was cold. It was miserable. But he scored a goal. And I said, yes! I'm going to tell you, I was excited about it. But it rained somebody and said, oh, I don't believe I'll go to church today. I think I'll just stay home and do something else. Because I think it's sprinkling out there. I'm not sure. You know, don't play games with God. I mean, it doesn't pay. I'll tell you that right now. It does not pay. And, you know, but I'll tell you, if I'd gone to that soccer game and my grandson was going to play, and I looked at the field out there and it was full of cans and bottles and junk and paper and everything imaginable out there, I wouldn't have been excited about him playing on that field. Are you listening? We're trying to play in the field of God, and it's full of all this stuff, past and present, and we wonder why we're not excited about the things of God, you see. And I don't know about you. The Bible says you have to fight for the things of God. You don't come just passively and sit there. You say, God, I want everything you got for me today. I want the whole enchilada. You got it? I want the whole thing. And I remember when I got saved and I found out you're supposed to read your Bible, I started reading my Bible. Then I found out after I was reading my Bible that, you know, there were some things I didn't have in my Christian life. And somebody said, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, I want all of that. And it took a while. I went after this thing. I found out, I went to people that had it. And to find out how you get it. You see, and there's always something new God has. There's always more that God has. There's always something to be excited about. If I had to, I'd have come today on a bicycle. You understand what I'm saying? Because I wanted to be here because the presence of God would be here. When the presence of God was in Israel, they won every battle. The Ark of the Covenant was a picture of the presence of God. And when they had the presence of God, they won the battles. When they did, they lost. You see. And so that's the way we are. That's the way we should be. We should be excited about this thing. It shouldn't be a matter, am I going to read my Bible today? It should be, I want to read it as soon as I can get up if I can, because I want to get a word of God before I step out the door. You understand what I'm saying? I want to call my girlfriend before I step out the door. Are you listening to me? I mean, if you're in love with God, you ought to know what that is. And so God says, study Joshua. I'm going to tell you how to clean up the land of your life so that I can do the most I can do in this life, preparing for the next one. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Let's go to Joshua. Let's go just a brief review of last time, and I want to continue that. We're talking about how to remove the giants from the land. What are the giants? The giants come in when we sin and keep on sinning and open the door, and they come in. Sometimes it's before we're saved. Sometimes it's after we're saved. And but I think God, I think God would rather have a person be honest and just say, I don't know the Lord, and I don't know if I want to. You know what I mean? I think sometimes he'd rather we be honest about it instead of just playing with the whole thing. Okay. Now, we're going to look at Joshua because Joshua, the whole book of Joshua, is about taking the land of your life, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's how to do it. It's the how-to book, how to do the battle, how to win in the things of God. And you have to be aggressive with this thing. Now after it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant's dead, really what he was saying. For the present, Moses' ministry is over. Now you take over. Are you listening? Now, this life should be a ministry on this earth in whatever God has put you in, whatever God has for you to do. And then it goes on. He said, be strong, be of good courage, verse 6. In other words, you're going to have to take this thing. He didn't say he was going to have to do it by himself. He said, I want you to be aggressive and take this thing. And he said, one of the things I want you to do in verse 8 is be in the word of God. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it once a month. Is that what it says? What's it say? Day and night. So if you aren't thinking about the word of God, if you aren't thinking about Jesus during the day, there is something drastically wrong with your love towards Christ. And of course, you and I both know you have to receive Christ as your personal Savior and your Lord if you're going to have this love relationship with God. You're going to have to understand that Jesus died on the cross for you. He had your name on the cross when he died 2,000 years ago. He knew your name. He had your name. He's the reason you're on this earth in the first place. But we're not automatically saved. We have to make that decision. If you're going to marry somebody, you make a decision to get married. You see, it's the same thing. If you're going to come to Christ, you're going to make a decision to come to Christ. But there's more to it than that. After you get saved, then you start learning how to be married to the Lord. And one of the first things you do is start getting in the Word and then start clearing the land. I'm going to give a list out today of some of the things that can be in the end, that can be in the land of your life that will hinder Christ doing what he wants to do in your life. And you'll be surprised at some of them, I'm sure. But God, these are obstacles to what God wants to do, you see. After we get saved, then we clear the land. Back in frontier days, they would buy the land or they would receive the land from the government, but they'd have to cut the trees down, have to clear it, have to get ready to plant seed. And so it's the same thing when you get saved. That's the beginning of it. You take the land of your life, which is your soul, not the spirit. Spirit's saved forever. That's done. Christ is there. Everything he is there. But he wants to come into your soul where you live, your mind, will, and emotions, and he wants to clear the stuff out of there so that there won't be anything between you and him. Hallelujah. You see. Can you believe that? You want to marry this girl, and the father steps in between you and her. Are you listening? There's some things you're going to have to go through if you understand what I mean. And there's some things in the land, everybody's land that gets saved has things that have to be removed. It's not something to be ashamed of unless you don't do it. You see, then you're going to have to explain that to Jesus when you stand before him. And I don't want to do that. I want the land totally clear so Jesus can plant in my life what he wants to. Now, I said Joshua was dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the next thing was Joshua 5 and verse 2. And I read this last time, but we'll do it again real quick. It says, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, take sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So what he's saying here is, cut away all the skin that isn't necessary. In other words, cut everything out of your life that's going to hinder you coming to Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? And that's the issue. And so we have to, what the flesh is your self-centered life. me, myself, and I. Everything revolves around you. Everything you do is to benefit you instead of somebody else. Nobody can love somebody if they're so self-centered that all they want to take care of is themselves. And yet that's one of the first things you cut away if you're going to love somebody, particularly God. And that's what it's talking about. So the second thing is cut away the things of flesh. Start looking around in the world and seeing people you can bless. Instead of trying to receive all the blessing all the time yourself, look around and see who you can bless. See who you can encourage. See who you can love and all that sort of thing. And I talked about it last time. What this is talking about, giants are not going to leave if you're full of yourself. Are you listening? Giants are not going to leave if you don't believe in giants. And there's a lot of people said, oh, that's just a bad habit I have. You know, it's not really anything. I can get rid of it anytime I want to. Well, try it. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that are giants in the land that people don't like to talk about. Anger, pride, self-sufficiency. You can just go on and on and on. All that stuff is of the world, the flesh, the devil, not God. And so, I tell you, if you're so full of yourself, you're going to be so blinded in yourself, you're going to run into something. You understand what I'm talking about? You ever seen folks like that? It's like having on dark glasses in the dark. You know, it doesn't help. In other words. So if you don't renounce these things, they're not going. You know, just say like you got a stranger came in your house and said, I think I'll stay with you a while. And he finds an extra bedroom. You didn't invite him in. You don't even want him in there. But he's in there. And guess how long he's going to be there? Till you call the police and get him out. Yeah. Are you listening? And that's the same thing with this stuff in our life. We got this stuff in there. And it's going to stay there until we call on the power of God to remove these things from our life. They also will not leave if you're not a Christian. Also, if you have unforgiveness in your life toward other people, you're not going to be able to get rid of the giants. You see, that's why we talk about this stuff. It's kind of like America, you know. We don't close our borders, and then we wonder why we got a mess. Are you listening to me? That sounds dumb. But we got all these well-educated people in Washington. You can't see that. You understand what I'm saying? And so the enemy's just pouring in. We just let them come in, and they say, I just don't understand why we have this problem. And that's what somebody's always saying. I just don't understand why I have all these problems in my life. I just don't understand why I can't get it together with this person, or I can't get it together with that person. I just can't understand it. You've opened the borders to your life to anything that wants to come in, and then you're surprised when you find out what's there. You see? And then you can't get rid of it. You see? One of the things you start doing is start giving the Lord all the praise and the glory. I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, I love you, Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, I want all of your love, mercy, and grace I can have today. And I want you to fill me with the Spirit so I can do exactly this day what you want me to do. Now, I have plans, but God works through those plans what he wants to do. And that's what this is all about. You have to take this thing. You have to say the words. You have to open your Bible. You have to do these things. The Bible is not going to open itself and start talking to you. You understand what I'm saying? Unless you have one of those on tape. And so you have to be aggressive to do this stuff. It's not going to happen. You'll never feel like doing it. You have to be aggressive about this thing. If you wanted a steak dinner, at some fancy restaurant, you have to leave the house. You got it? I mean, you have to open the door, open the car door, get in, start it up, drive to the restaurant, be seated, order, then you eat it. You see, you got to take a few steps. But some strange reason, when people become Christians, they think, God just going to do all of this, and I'll just take it easy, and everything's going to be all right, and all this kind of stuff. And it's not true. You got to wear the pages of that Bible out, and when that one falls apart, get another one. Are you listening to me? How many Bibles have you worn out? You see, we got to be aggressive about these things. How many people are you going to lead to Jesus if you never leave your house? How many people are you ever going to talk to about the Lord if you never get on the phone and talk to them? I mean, you got to be aggressive about this stuff. Yeah, I don't know where we got the idea. We get saved and God's just going to bring this stuff and it's just going to happen. We don't have to do much. We'll be aggressive about going to a football game, but going to church, well, if I feel like it, you know, God will put it in there. Give me that feeling, and I'll just get all excited about it. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to get in there. We got to go forward. We got to have a plan. We got to start getting into God's plan and start letting and working with God to work the plan in our soul. Somebody always say, I love Jesus, and they come to church once every 2 months. You got to say, something wrong with this picture. Isn't that right? There's something wrong with this picture. I tell you, if I love my girlfriend, I'm going to be there every night if I could. I mean, let's be honest about this. Would you just be honest? Just tell somebody, you know, I don't care about the things of God. You know what I mean? Instead of messing around with this. It's just, we're coming to the time where God is separating, we would say, the men from the boys. You understand what I'm saying? God's going to separate those that are just messing around with God, and He's going to concentrate on those that love Him, because this world's not getting better, it's getting worse. Are you listening to me? Now, look in Joshua 5 and verse 13, continuing on. Now, so Joshua's making plans. God told him what to do. He's been in the Word of God. He understands the whole thing. They'd been in the wilderness. They'd been trained. They're ready to go. They're at the edge of the Promised Land. And right in front of them is the strongest stronghold in the whole place. And Joshua's making plans. In verse 13, it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes, looking, behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, are you for us or are you our adversaries? And it's like, halt, who goes there? If you're in the service, you're going to check somebody out that's got a sword or a gun or whatever. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the Lord, host of the Lord, I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord about his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And Joshua did so. I'm going to tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ, every day, every hour is holy ground. Are you listening to me? Every breath we take, every minute we have, it's holy ground. And you know who that captain of the Lord of hosts was? It was Jesus, hallelujah. And Jesus said, we're going to go through this thing together. And Joshua said, whew. I'm glad you're going to be with me. I thought I was going to have to do this whole thing myself. So we're going to ask God to be involved in everything we do during the day. I don't care if it's cutting the grass or whatever it is. You need to pray, because while you're cutting the grass, somebody might drive by and ask directions. You understand? You might have a divine appointment. You might have a divine appointment with the neighbor next door. You might have a divine appointment with somebody just walking down the sidewalk where you're cutting the grass. So we need the Lord of hosts every minute of every day. I don't care if it's something we do that's routine. You understand what I'm saying? The battle belongs to the Lord, but we're the ones that He gave the sword. Are you listening to me? Now, God's plan must be followed. The presence of the Lord's important. The Ark of the Covenant, I say, with Israel, they won the battles when the Ark was there. Now, here's another thing. Some people teach that all the giants leave at salvation and you're going to be cool from then on. Absolutely not. God leaves some there. Some do go. Some do go. People have had addictions, got saved, and it's gone. But I'll tell you, there's other things there. And why is there? Because God wants you to learn to trust Him in this life to deal with the things that come up in your life. So He's going to allow things to come. He's going to allow things to come into your life you don't like. He's going to allow people to come into your life that you don't like, you see. And He's going to use these things to grow you up in the Christian life. Now, the battle belongs to the Lord. Joshua didn't start saying, "Well, God, this is the biggest stronghold. I don't know if we can take this thing. And I don't know if the people are with me. And I just don't know if this is going to happen. And woe is me. And God, why don't you go do it yourself?" He didn't say any of that stuff. You got to be positive about these things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Are you listening? God's going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory if I'm following Him. You see? And that's the way it is. Now, these giants will hinder your Christian life, keep you from rewards in heaven, keep you from your inheritance in heaven. I didn't say they'd keep you from heaven. I said that it'd keep you from the rewards in heaven. If Satan can't stop you from being saved, he's going to stop you from being blessed. Yes. You see, he's out there. He wants to do it. He knows how to push your buttons and when to do it. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, so you have to deal with these things. You have to deal with the giants. You have to deal with these demonic spirits. You have to. Now, it's a good idea in the Christian life to have a good Christian friend that you can talk to, pray with, and confess to if necessary, that you can trust, because they help you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, when I got married, I knew I made a mistake when I got married. Well, I said, "Why'd you do it?" He said, "Because I never got counseling, I never got any help, I just made my own decisions, and I made this dumb mistake." And I'm going to tell you, Joshua, first you have the Lord, secondly you have Christian friends, I hope. Because there's some things, and if you're married, it could be your husband and wife, and that's a great thing. Because Grace and I bounce things off of each other. And we talk about each other, and I say, I don't hesitate to have her pray about something or whatever it is. And I don't hesitate to share some problem I have with her, and we pray about it, because I need that. I need to make right decisions, and sometimes we don't always make those right decisions. So we need to pray. We need to pray with other people, and we need to ask the Lord for help. Okay, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, Joshua's got his army. They got all their necessary equipment. They're all set to go. And now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. In other words, they closed the gates. High walls. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given into your hand Jericho and his king and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all the men of war." Now, God said, "I've given you the city." Now listen to me. God said, "I have given you your land of your life. I've given your soul. I've given it to you. It is yours. But you shall compass the city, all you men of war, go around the city once. You shall do it 6 days." He said, "I just want you to march around the city. 6 days. Go entirely around the city, all the men of war. Don't attack, don't do anything, just go around the city." And he said, "The priest shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns." And so they got some things going on here. "And you shall compass the city on the 7th day 7 times, and the priest shall blow with a trumpet, and it shall come to pass when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Now, how many people know that's not the normal way you do warfare? And then another place it says you not say a word when you're marching around. That's a miracle in itself. You don't talk about how high the wall is, how strong the wall is, how many enemies up on the wall. You don't talk about this is the strongest fortress. What you talk about is God said he's given us the city. God said he's given us the city. God said he's given us the city. It didn't make any difference what it looks like. God said he's given us the city. Now, how many of you know God's ways are not always our ways? God wants to show you us that he is God. He might tell you one of the craziest things you ever heard of in your life to do in order to accomplish something he wants you to do. And he told these warriors, just march around the city. It's like they had a parade going. They were the priests out there. There was the presence of God. There was all of this. And I think every time they went around that city, the enemy got a little more scared. I think they had 6 sleepless nights. What do you think? I think God was working. 7th day they went around 7 times. The battle belongs to the Lord, but he said, "I want you to do it." And so we have to go in with prayer, with the word of God, the promises of God, and understand there isn't any enemy that can stand up to us if we're speaking the words of God. There isn't any, you see. That's just like you say, you got some kind of a problem and you just say, "I'm healed in the name of Jesus." People look at you like you're stupid because you're still crippled and walking like this. And you say, "I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I am healed in the name of Jesus." And all of a sudden, you're walking in the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? It's not what it looks like. You don't speak what you see. You speak what God says. That's what we have to learn in life. I don't care what the problem is. Problem in marriage, problem in something else, problem with addictions, problem with any of this stuff. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. But we hold the sword of the Word of God and we speak it out of our mouth. And God will tell us exactly how to do it. They did exactly what God said. What if they marched around 5 days? What would have happened? Absolutely correct. What if on the 6th day, or what if on the 7th day they only marched 6 times? What would have happened? Absolutely correct. God said, "Listen to my directions and do exactly what I tell you to do, and you will have the victory." You know, there was 3 words I thought were interesting. If you want to win a battle over the giants, and the let's see, what are those graces? I forgot. It's repent, rebuke, and replace. Repent, confess any sin in your life. Turn from it. Number two, you rebuke the devil, rebuke the enemy in your life. You speak to the problem and command it to go in the name of Jesus. And then when it's gone, you replace that with the Word of God and the things of Jesus Christ. Repent, rebuke, replace. Every battle you have, that's the way to do it. Repent, rebuke, replace. All right, Joshua 6 and verse 18. If you're still out there, say amen. Amen. Now here's something. Joshua 6, 18 to 20. And you, in every way, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver, the gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout. The wall fell down flat so that people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And as far as I know, they never lost a man. What I think happened, angels pushed that wall flat into the ground. And they walked right straight before them and took that city. Now there's a whole lot more to this that I haven't got time to get into all of it. But I just want to tell you, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And God has given you a perimeter, a fence, that if you'll stay in that fence, you'll be blessed. You go outside of that fence, you'll be cursed. Part of the fence is the Ten Commandments. We're not following the Ten Commandments, but we live out the Ten Commandments. That's a fence God put around us to protect us. He said, if you don't steal, and you don't murder, and if you don't commit adultery, and if you don't do this and the other thing, you're going to be blessed. But if you do those things, you're going to be cursed. And so that's why he gave us these things, not to punish us, but to make sure that we are blessed. Now, he said, there's certain things in the city I don't want you to take any of the spoil of. And he said, I don't want you to take any clothing. I don't want you to take any food. I don't want you to take anything out of the city but these things, silver, gold, bronze, and iron. That's all I want you to take. Now, I want you to know that's all God wants us to take in our life, and I'm going to explain what they mean. He put those four items in there for a reason. Because how much are you going to take with you when you die? How much did you bring into this world when you were born? All right. But God tells us what we can take out. He tells us what we can take out. Okay? Gold, silver, bronze, and iron. The gold means all things directed by the Holy Spirit. All the things directed by God. You can take those with you. They won't harm you in any way, of course. Number two, silver. You can take with you what Christ has done in your life. Died on the cross, shed his blood for you, remembering Jesus Christ on a daily basis. That's one of the reasons we take communion. Some people just say, well, you know, this little thing about communion, I'll take it if I want to. No, you take it every time they have it because it is... it's a remembrance of what God has done and is going to do in your life. You can take that with you to heaven. I wouldn't be surprised there is an angel up there keeping track of how often you take the Lord's Supper. That's remembering Jesus Christ. Honoring Him. It's honoring the Lord. Bronze, what's that mean? Now, that means very simply, the judgment of God is either on you or it's on Jesus. The judgment of God is either on you or it's on Jesus. Which would you rather have? You see. And we have to always remember what Jesus Christ has done. Remember, we are not condemned because we are in Jesus Christ. But we also have to remember that everything we do, everything we do, we're going to reap what we sow. You see. And then the iron. And iron, you know, the Bible talks about, I forget if it's Psalms or Proverbs, but rubbing iron against iron. And if you rub iron against iron, you're going to have, they're going to sharpen each other. You understand? And this is talking about all your relationships to be right in Jesus Christ. It's reaching out and ministering to people. I always say to people, say they're Christians, been Christians for years. How many people you ever told about Jesus? I didn't say how many got saved. I said, how many people you ever told about Jesus Christ and what He did in your life? How many people have you given testimony to? How many people, I don't think it's the number, but have you had any? You see. How are you going to win the victory if you can't even tell somebody you know Jesus Christ, He's your personal Savior and Lord, you're a Christian and you're going to heaven because of the cross of Calvary and His death, burial, and resurrection? If you can't tell somebody that out of your mouth, there's something wrong. Somebody told me one time, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but I never tell anybody. I said, well, my goodness. What kind of a Christian is that? You see. So you reach out and minister. And it's time for me to quit. Probably a long time ago. I don't even know when I started. But anyway, I'm not finished. I want you to know there's giants in the land. God wants you to deal with them. He's concerned about every single person and every single person's life. He's concerned about every one of them. And my pastor outer, I think I have enough for each family or each individual, not for every single person. Okay. Just one per family. And this list that I'm handing out are just a list of giants that can plague your life and hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. And if you can circle any of these and I say, that's one of the giants I have, if you do that, then I would suggest that you don't live with them any longer. If you could see what these ugly, slimy things look like, you'd want them out of there in about 2 seconds. You ever seen somebody come walk along the sidewalk and see an earthworm going across? And they think, oh my, that's an ugly looking thing. I'm going to tell you, that's nothing compared to what these things are. They got tentacles, they got claws, and they dig into your soul and hang on. And you need to get rid of these things because they are hindering your Christian life. You say, why are we talking about this stuff? Because I want to see you free. God wants to see you free. Now, don't look at the list now. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to quit. But I want you to take this home. If you got some of these things, start praying about them. Start praying about them. I don't say if you did something one time. I'm talking about you have a problem with this thing. Then it's probably a giant. And if anybody else needs some, I have 3 or 4 or 5 up here on the front pew. Yes. Okay. All right, let's stand before the Lord.